Shabbat Shalom. The Parsha today is Vayetzeh, Genesis 28:10 to 32:3. Vayetzeh, it means, and he left. Okay, and this is the seventh weekly Torah portion in the annual cycle. So Jacob flees after fooling his father and taking Esau's blessing, and he heads out for Haran. He stops for the night, and he dreamed what we call the dream of Jacob's ladder, you know, and God is at the top of the ladder with angels ascending and descending. God promises Jacob that his descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, you know, just as he promised Abraham as the stars of the sky. You know, it's a figurative term, doesn't mean literally every speck of dust in the earth, you know, but it's a figurative term like innumerable. So Jacob stops for the night, and as we said, and he, you know, when he laid down, he had that a rock for a pillow. Okay, now I can't imagine anybody having a rock for a pillow, but that's what he did, you know. And so when God gives him his promise, he blesses him and says that all the earth shall be blessed through him, and then he'll keep him wherever he goes, and then he will bring him back. So Jacob awakes from his place, from his sleep, and calls the place Bethel. He takes that rock and he sets up a pillar, and you know, as a memorial. So the parasha continues with him winding up at a well in Haran, where shepherds come to water their sheep. Now Rachel comes along because she's a shepherdess, and she's coming to water her sheep. Does this sound familiar at all? It's nearly the same thing that happened when Abraham's servant came to find a wife for Jacob, Jacob's father, Isaac. And so when Jacob sees her, he goes and he kisses her and tells her, well, I'm your relative. And she goes home and tells her father, Laban, who ran out to meet him and take him home. Now, remember Laban from a couple parshas ago when he couldn't wait to get, you know, into Abraham's family by marriage. So Rebekah agrees to be Isaac's wife. And that's when, that's when Rebekah agreed to be Isaac's wife. So Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. Rachel was the more beautiful one, and Leah, well, not so as beautiful as Rachel, at least to Jacob. So Jacob wants to marry Rachel, and Laban makes a deal with him to work 7 years to have her. And since Jacob had no dowry, that would not be out of order. Okay, but what was out of order is the scheme that Laban cooked up and to get more out of Jacob than he bargained for. It's the old switcheroo. The time for payback has come. You reap what you sow. Like the old saying, what comes around goes around. Okay, so he fooled his father and took Esau's birthright. And so, you know, this little scheme is along the same lines. Okay, so what happened? And it says, he switched Leah for Rachel. Now, Leah obviously was in on it. Pretty much, and Rachel did what she was told. The father was the king. You know, you did what you were told, and shut up about it. Okay, so you know, it doesn't make any sense that somebody would come up with this. Can you imagine Sam deciding, well, you know, Tears is my firstborn. Sorry, Caleb, but you know, that's how it goes. But you can still marry Kezi after 7 days. It wouldn't happen. You know, but what father in his right mind would do it? But that's what they did. And you wonder, how can Jacob be fooled? You know, well, it's not like today's weddings are, where they stand up there in front of everybody and you see who they are, you know, and all that. It was a little bit different. There was a wedding feast, for one, and Laban, you know, provided that basically before the ceremony, and so Jacob was drunk, pretty much. And Laban brings him what he thinks is Rachel, who is veiled, and it's at night. She's all ready. She's all perfumed. She might even be wearing some of Rachel's clothing. So Jacob falls for it. And the morning after the wedding night, he wakes up and says, whoa, what are you doing here? You know, and finds out, you know, what had happened. And so he goes to complain to Laban. And he says, well, I can't let the firstborn daughter be married after the secondborn daughter. But that's okay. You know, you can still have, you can have both of them. Okay. Now, in those days, a polygamous marriage really wasn't, you know, out of the ordinary. I mean, not everybody did it, but some people did it. You know, even today, some of the Muslim countries, they do that. And in the 1800s up until about 1890, Brigham Young, who was then leader of the Mormon Church, had 55 wives. You know, I can't imagine having 55 wives, but, you know, but he did, you know, until the government said, no, that's illegal. But today, you can still have four wives, you know, in the Muslim tradition, if that's what you want to do. Reminds me of an old movie, good movie, actually, World War II movie with Humphrey Bogart called Sahara. And two guys strike up a conversation about marriage. So one of the guys, he says to his Muslim friend, so I guess you guys can have, what, 400 wives? He says, oh, no. You can have four. So he says, four wives? He says, yeah. And he says, well, why four wives? Well, we're told that, you know, one wife, well, y'all, it just wouldn't be enough. One wife wouldn't make you happy. And he says, two wives, they'd always argue together. And you never know which one is right, so you never get any peace. Three wives, then it says two would conspire against the one, you know, and so there'd be nothing but turmoil. But four wives, well, yeah, okay, four wives. Two would be here, two would be there, and they'd get along, and then you're a happy man. And so he says, I don't think my wife would like that. And he says, no, mine wouldn't either. So, you know, so even though they were allowed, they probably don't do it. Okay, so going on. Leah is the first one to conceive. Okay, Rachel wasn't able to have children, and so Leah starts having children. And Rachel later on, and then what happens is Rachel, because she couldn't have children, she gives her handmaid to Jacob to have four wives. Now he's got three wives. And then eventually Leah stops bearing children for a while and gives Zilpha. So now he's got four wives. So four wives for this man. And the way that they had their children, and I did a little research to have them in order. So what we have is Leah, the first wife, has the first child, Reuben, the second, Simeon, the third, Levi, the fourth, Judah, the ninth, Issachar, and the tenth, Zebulun, and their daughter, Dinah. Rachel, the second wife, has child number 11, which is Joseph, and child number 12, eventually, would be Benjamin, though he's not born at this time. Bilhah, the third wife, has the fifth son, Dan, the sixth, Naphtali, and Zilpha has the seventh son, Gad, and the eighth son, Asher. Now, two of the most significant tribes from Judah are from the Levitical priesthood, and Judah, who is the lineage of King David and the Messiah. So at this point, the Lord tells Jacob, go home. So Jacob tells his wives, get ready, we're leaving. Now Laban's out in the fields, doesn't have a clue as what's going on. And this time, Rachel decides she's going to steal her father's household idols. And says, I don't think she wanted to worship it. You know, the Bible doesn't really say. Possibly they were valuable, maybe made of silver or possibly gold, or she wanted something to remember her father by, you know, as they were like, you know, getting out of Dodge, like right away. And they're going to a distant land. But we're not really told. So the story continues that Laban finds out 3 days later and goes on a chase and chases him for about 7 days and catches up to him. And then he confronts him. Well, what did you take my daughters and my children, my, you know, grandchildren you know, and didn't even give me a chance to say goodbye and kiss him and have a party and send you off with, you know, music and dancing. And so he says, well, you might have not let me go with him, you know, and I mean, you know, you're not exactly honest with me. You cheated me out of my wages, changed my wages 10 times, you know, and you kept trying to change the deal, you know, saying, well, you know, my sheep are spotted, those are yours. And then, oh, my sheep are striped, then those are yours, and so on and so forth. So he kept changing the deal. And Laban says, well, okay, all right. And but why did you steal my gods and, you know, his idols? And Jacob says, oh, what are you talking about? And he says, yeah, you stole my idols. And he says, well, you go ahead and search the camp. And whoever you find him with, okay, then you can take care of it, you know, but we didn't take your stuff. And so they search all the tents, didn't find nothing. Then they come to Rachel's tent. Now she had hidden her father's idols in the saddle, and then she sat on the saddle in her tent. So when they come to check out Rachel's tent, she says, oh, I can't get up, you know, it's that time of the month, you know, and so they didn't mess with her. And so she got away with it. They didn't find them. So what happens after that? You know, it's pretty much like, you see, I told you, you know. And so they make a deal that that they won't basically go to war with each other. They set up another pillar. They have a meal with it. And they make a deal that you don't cross this border to be, you know, to start a war with me. I won't start a war with you. But you're taking my children before God. You cannot mess with my daughters. Don't treat them wrong, you know. And, you know, of course, if you do, God's going to get you. So basically, that's how the agreement went. So eventually, Jacob ends up, and at the end of the parsha, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the place Mahanim, which means two camps. So what can we take away from this? Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Whatever you do, you're sowing. You're sowing something, sowing good or sowing bad. Next week, we see the rest of the story. Shabbat Shalom.